Hey, everybody, fan of the Charlie Kirk Show. What is racism? Pretty simple question that most people can't answer. And Vivek Ramaswamy joins the show for a candid conversation. How much money do you think Vivek has put into the race of his own money? How much of his own money do you think Vivek has put in? The answer will shock you. Listen to this episode to find out. Text this episode to your friends and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Welcome back, everybody. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. We have Vivek Ramaswamy joining us, but I want to lead into it. So Vivek is going viral for his dialogue with the Des Moines Register, including other press conferences. He's been leveling up. I have so much respect for Vivek Ramaswamy, and he's been getting better and better and better and better. You know, some candidates, they just fall apart. And if we're calling balls and strikes, Governor DeSantis, he had the worst 2023. You know, we didn't do that, but we should have. We're only a couple of days into 2024. If Ron DeSantis was a stock chart, woo, it's like Bear Stearns. We tried to help him. We didn't want to listen to us. Vivek Ramaswamy, you know, it's funny. I called Vivek. He called me, and I saw a political article. This guy wants to run for president. I know Vivek. And I said, man, I don't know if this is a good idea for you. And I said, I don't know if it's going to fit. I don't know if you're, obviously, you know, we're Trump guys. And I'll say I was half right, half wrong. In a sense, I don't know about his political viability because Trump looks unstoppable. But I'm so glad, and I was wrong about this because I didn't see kind of the narrative wins he would have. I got to say I was wrong. Vivek running for the presidency has been a moral good. I can't tell you how many, especially high IQ entrepreneur type people that come up to me and all they want to talk about is Vivek. That's all they want to talk about. It's a very specific demographic that he hits. It's not your typical MAGA Republican that Vivek dominates with. It's not your typical person that shows up at MAGA rallies, or is that kind of a fit? It's different. It's conservatives, but it's somebody that would be more likely to listen to a 2 or 3 hour podcast, a Joe Rogan. It's people that are owning their own businesses, people that are disgusted by the wokeism, and they love Vivek's approach. He's been great during the debates. He had the courage to go after Rana. He has been leveling up in real time. Other people are noticing it too. He's been excellent. And I will say this, I am very, very biased. Vivek Ramaswamy, on multiple occasions, has changed his schedule to come to our Turning Point events when Ron DeSantis would not be bothered to do so. That's a big deal for me. I don't forget that. I'm going to thank him on this program. When you change your schedule to come to a Turning Point event, I notice, I remember, and I repeat. DeSantis wouldn't be bothered in his home state to come down to the Turning Point. By the way, Ted Cruz deserves a lot of credit. He always makes time for us, and I have great respect for Ted Cruz for that. Even when I disagree with Ted Cruz on certain votes, I'm a little bit easy on him because he's always so great for our students. He's so great to Turning Point. It means a lot to me. Ron DeSantis, he wouldn't be bothered to come to our events. He's afraid. I think Ron DeSantis is afraid of getting in front of our crowds. Vivek leans in. So much respect for him. And so, and yeah, but DeSantis used to do our events, and now he won't be found, which is too bad. His loss, tried to help him. His stock cratered down. Vivek Ramaswamy has an especially talented approach on this topic of racism and white supremacy. The unforgivable crime in the West and how we got here is really manipulative, honestly. It's through education and media. We kind of allowed it to happen. in upper middle class boomer WASP society. We kind of never pushed back on it because the word was kind of code for being evil, immoral, indecent. And that is being called a racist. Now, racism is wrong. But can you give me a definition of racism? This sounds like a very simple question, isn't it? This is why I've said this on the program before, and I very well might do this. I've been pushing my team. Matt Walsh did the film, What is a Woman? I want to do the film, What is Racism? And I know that it will be an amazing short film because there is not an easy answer to it on the left. We've completely allowed the Marxists to define our moral universe for us without any pushback. And so if you really drill down to the academic Marxist left, you say, what is racism? They will say racism is a reflection of systems of power. Huh? That's what they believe. They think racism is not person A being racist to person B. They think that only white people can be racist and black people can't be racist. Go look at the IBM 10 Commandments. James O'Keefe releases these. The IBM 10 Commandments, one of them is that black people cannot be racist. And so we've built our entire society and the consequences of our actions without anybody being able to tell you what actually this word means. We think we know what it means. So, for example, if I do an impersonation of somebody in an Asian accent, am I being racist? Yes or no? If I wear a sombrero on Cinco de Mayo, am I being racist? Yes or no? If there are black-only dormitories, am I being racist? Yes or no? If I talk as if somebody from Jamaica would talk, like Bob Marley, am I being racist? Yes or no? If I listen to rap music, am I being racist? Yes or no? Now, these might sound like silly questions, but the answers are all across the board. There's no catechism of rules. It's just who's in power gets to enforce it. If I wear blackface, is it racist? Yes or no? If I use the N-word, is it racist? Yes or no? And there, if your answer is yes, then tell me why, because then you must yield back to a definition of which people cannot give you. And if they give you a definition, it is completely and totally across the board. It is moral paranoia. So our society, what we judge as good or bad, has no agreed upon definition. Nobody can define it. And yet the expectation is that being racist is the worst thing in the world. And then when you ask them what being racist is, they say, you know it when you see it. You cannot treat something as the worst crime ever if nobody actually knows what it is. The line has to be clear, which is why I would love one day, and one day this will happen, a reporter will come and ask me, I'll just say, hey, Abby Jones for the New York Times, what is racism? I'm going to ask this question all spring on our campus tour. And it's not a trick question. Same when I ask the young ladies, what is a woman? They combust. I can't answer that. A woman is someone who identifies as a woman. Okay, you can't answer the question with the term. It's like saying a tree is something that looks like a tree. You have to give a definition. Basic definitions make the left explode. Because if they actually have to define it, then there's a standard. And once there's a standard, you can compare things to the standard. They don't want a clear standard. They just want power. So the line has to be clear. And there's really not agreed upon terms. I will say this. The one thing that people do consider in high society is you can't say the N-word. Okay. Can't do that. And now you can't, if you're a white girl, you can't put your hair in braids because you're culturally appropriating. Okay. You can't wear blackface. Okay. But do you know what else they consider to be racist? Speaking properly, racist. Doing math, racist. Oh, you don't believe me? The African American Smithsonian Museum, in an official document that was published back during Floydapalooza, and they don't want you to mention this. And by the way, it was not just like some errant tweet. This was a very well put together, graphically designed document where they say aspects and assumptions of whiteness and white culture in the United States. For example, time, following rigid time schedules, racist. Christianity, racist. This is your government funding this. The National Museum of American African-American History. And by the way, is it African-American or Black history? No one can ever give me that answer. If it's African-American, why wasn't it African-American Lives Matter? Branding issue? Or does Black Lives Matter just sound better? Planning for the future, racist. Delayed gratification, racist. Progress is always best, racist. Tomorrow will be better, racist. The nuclear family, racist. Self-reliance, racist. The King's English, racist. Written tradition, racist. Being polite, racist. Being number one, racist. This is from the National Museum of African-American History and Culture. What is racism? The most simple question. We have the unforgivable sin. Worse than anything. Worse than being a rapist. Worse than anything. And they can't tell you what it is. You just know it when you see it. Hey, bro, I want to introduce you to the Artillery Tea Company. Artillery Tea is the premium tea for freedom-loving patriots. I drink tea every day, and Artillery Tea Company is the brand that I choose. Why? Well, their tea is whole leaf for a more full-bodied flavor. Plus, you can brew each bag twice, which gives you 30 cups per tin. They've got all the flavors you want, Earl Grey, peach apricot green tea, chamomile mint, and many others. The best part is a portion of all sales is donated to veterans and first responders. Visit ArtilleryTeaCo.com and support these guys. Not only do they make the best teas on the market, in my opinion, but you're also supporting veterans and first responders through every purchase. Right now, they're offering 10% off for podcast listeners. So visit ArtilleryTeaCo.com. That's ArtilleryTea.com and enter promo code Charlie to receive your discount. That's ArtilleryTea.com. Enter promo code Charlie and get 10% off. They're an amazing company. I really like them. They do a great job. ArtilleryTea.com. ArtilleryTea.com. Promo code Charlie. So it is the great sin of America that few people, not almost anybody, can tell you what it is. And the reason is they like it that way. They like not being able to tell you the power they have over you. Are there worse things than being a racist? Yes. Absolutely. Being a pedophile is worse than being a racist. Without a doubt. Let me ask you a question. If somebody says, I don't feel safe walking in the south side of Chicago at night, are they racist? Are they racist? It's a 85%, 90% black area. Very, very high crime. Are they racist? By what definition do you put forward and the standard that we live under? So I'll give you the definition of racism as it should be. A person acting against another person based on something they cannot change, such as their skin color. Acting. Not just saying something. Not just private talk. It means nothing to me. Dennis Prager is one of the most articulate individuals on this topic. Where he says, it means nothing to me if in private in your car you might say something negative about the Jews. How do you treat me is far more important. Now, some people say your negative sentiments might actually blur into your public actions. They can. But I'm sure all of us have said things in road rage or other private settings that you did not necessarily always mean. Your actions matter. And so, for example, black-only dormitories is modern-day apartheid racism. Action. Hiring practices in corporate America is modern-day anti-white racism. But those things are considered to be progress because they won't define the term. So the stuff that actually is legitimately racial profiling, racially stereotyping, nobody touches. But the stuff that isn't, you could lose your career. You could lose everything that you've ever worked for. There are these young teenagers that get kicked out of college because they use the N-word once in a group chat when they're 16 years old. That's so sick. There's people that get their lives ruined because of private talk in chat rooms. That means nothing to me. Nothing. How do you act? What do you do? You're trying to be cute in front of your friends. I'm supposed to believe that's some sort of a reflection of who you are? No, your character is largely your actions. How do you act? How do you treat people? What have you done? What's your behavior like? No, but they don't want that. They want to be able to have an unforgivable sin, a death blow to any career. It is a means to power. The mass proliferation of the cult of diversity, and with it, the sin of racism, is an ability to control people via political correctness. Political correctness is inherently totalitarian. And also, it makes life sadder. Life was funnier when The Office, in like their fourth or fifth episode, had Diversity Day. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. It is irreverent, it's politically incorrect, it would never air today. In fact, it is so on the edge, it is outrageously hilarious. Making fun of Asians, making fun of women, making fun of white people too. America was a better country when comedy like this was aired on television. Play cut 62.
Niggas always want some credit for some shit supposed to do. For some shit they just supposed to do. A nigga will brag about some shit a normal man just doesn't. A nigga will say something like, I take care of my kids. You're supposed to, you dumb motherfucker. You're talking about.
Chris Rock. Irreverent? By the way, if you couldn't understand it, it's Chris Rock making fun of black inner city culture. And he says there's two types of black people. I'll let you guys check it out yourself. Or my other one is, he's like, yeah, I've never been to prison. That's not an accomplishment, not going to prison. Is that racist? I'll only take it seriously if you can define the term. Tell me what it is. Is it a power struggle? Is it a means to the end? No. You don't want to ever tell me the definition, nor can you, because we're on to the con. We're on to the con of overusing that term to destroy people's lives and silence our speech and suffocate us from noticing. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Brand new year and new year resolutions. I have one you should make. Save babies by providing ultrasounds. Be a hero for life this year starting today. Together, during the Sanctity of Human Life Month, we're going to save 35,000 babies to show the world that even if our government and our laws don't respect the unborn, we do. Your gift to preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice, something they don't want her to know. What better way to start this new year than to join us saving babies? And $28 a month will save a baby a month all year long. $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. So start this year right by resolving to be heroes for life. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. Go to charliekirk.com. I am a donor to this organization. They are amazing. Go to charliekirk.com and help them out. 833-850-2229. That is charliekirk.com. And you'll find right there, click on the preborn banner. Check it out. It's important to remember how oppressive the vibe was back in 2017 and 2020. All the way that kind of Trump era. People would be worried if you even said the word white. Some people would be afraid to say that Maxine Waters hates white people. Things have totally changed. And Vivek Ramaswamy is moving the Overton window. He's doing an amazing job and he joins us now. Vivek, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking time. Vivek, your clip went totally viral. I'm going to play the piece of tape. But first, I just want to say you have been exceptional in making time for us at Turning Point, at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. Means a lot to me. I'll never forget it. You were awesome at AmFest. So thank you, Vivek. Let me play cut 26. I want to get your reaction.
You didn't say that you condemn white supremacy.
I'm not going to recite some catechism for you. I'm against vicious racial discrimination in this country. So I'm not pledging allegiance to your new religion of modern wokeism, which absolutely fits the test. I'm not going to bend the knee to your religion. I'm sorry. I'm not asking you to bend the knee to mine, and I'm not going to bend the knee to yours. But do I condemn vicious racial discrimination? Yes, I do. Am I going to play your silly game of gotcha? No, I'm not. And the reality is, I condemn vicious racial discrimination in this country, but the kind of vicious and systematic racial discrimination we see today is discrimination on the basis of race in a very different direction.
Vivek, welcome to the program. Tell us more about this exchange.
Good to be on. Well, look, this is all in the context of Steve King, and you might remember Congressman Steve King, who I think was unfairly tarred by the media as a racist or otherwise, and we're riding the back of a bus, Charlie, in Iowa. So excuse the campaign, video logistics here. But Steve King endorsed me. That's the bottom line. And they tarred him as a white supremacist and a racist. All of that is bogus. Steve King is a patriot who loves this country. And all of that narrative is false. But anyway, on the back of that, she then says, okay, well, if you're going to accept Steve King's endorsement, then can you denounce white supremacy? Why have you not denounced white supremacy if you're accepting the endorsement of this white supremacist? And the really hard reality is these people can't even define what white supremacy is. People on the left now say that punctuality or even the written word is a vestige of white supremacy. So the term has lost its meaning entirely. And so what I told her is, look, this has become a new religion. I'm not going to recite the catechism. What do they want? They tried to do this to Trump, too, say, condemn white supremacy. And they want me to sit there compliantly saying, yes, you phrase this a certain way, and I'm going to condemn white supremacy because you decided those are the words that need to come out of my mouth. I say hell no to that. No, I'm not going to speak their language. Am I against invidious racism in this country? Of course I am. But the kind of racism we see right now most rampantly is reverse racism, affirmative action. And if you want to end discrimination on the basis of race, then stop discriminating, for God's sake, on the basis of race and obsessing over it. And so I refuse to play her game. The other media members in that gaggle, they kept attacking me afterwards, but thank God somebody caught it, and we actually had some fun with that on the internet.
Yeah, to piggy, first of all, you're handling this beautifully, because they want to have power over you. That's what it is. They want their boot on your neck. It's the same as 1984, right? All they care about is power.
Yep.
They want to be O'Brien. They want to be O'Brien on top of Winston. And when you say, actually,
it's exactly right.
Actually, no, like those two words don't mean what you think they mean. For example, according to the National Museum for African American History, this is a federal government funded museum. They say that showing up on time, planning for the future, having hard work, using the scientific method, speaking properly, and writing things down is white supremacy. Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, look, I think that means the term white supremacy doesn't mean anything. And Charlie, I also just want to use this as a chance to say, because it'd be unfair if we didn't actually call this out, what the New York Times did to Steve King. You remember Steve King. You know who he is, right, Charlie?
Of course. Yes, I know him well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, right. So, I mean, he was actually one of the guys who was talking about building the wall long before it was cool to talk about building the wall. Laid the foundation for much of the America First movement that we actually respect and appreciate today. They tarred him as a white supremacist or racist back then for saying things like build the wall. And so, you know what? I got his endorsement. And the thing you're supposed to say is, well, I'm happy I got the endorsement, but I disagree with some things he said in the past. I refused to play that catechism. I'm proud to have his endorsement. And I think that he's not a white supremacist or anything else they've tarred him with either. But it takes somebody right now, and the utter lack of self-awareness that this Washington Post reporter had is astounding, that she's criticizing Steve King for being some kind of white supremacist for just coming out and endorsing some brown guy named Vivek Ramaswamy. Their lack of self-awareness continues to perplex me. But I think that we can't bend the knee to this religion, and that's what it's become, Charlie. And I think that if I'm president, one of the things I'm saying is we're using the law to say that this is a civil rights violation right now at corporate America, when they're forcing employees to bend down to this new DEI religion. I've written about this for years. That's a civil rights violation because this meets the Supreme Court's test for what counts as a religion. And so if they're going to say people can't be forced to bow down to any other religion, a cross or anything else, they shouldn't be forced to bow down to this one either. And I would use the Department of Justice to apply the standards even-handedly, which we've failed to do in this country for a long time. But if there's one thing that comes out of this campaign that I've enjoyed the most, it is holding the media accountable for their own lies, and their lack of self-awareness is astounding, but the rest of the country at least gets to see it for what it is. And at the very least, that's what I'm doing in this campaign.
So Vivek, walk us through, because what you've done, I mean, you've become completely unshackled. It's been beautiful to see. You're leveling up in real time. And for the audience out there, they say, but Vivek, I might be called a racist. What's your response to that?
Well, I would say man up a little bit. And if they call you a racist, then deal with it. And I don't mean to just sort of, Charlie, to be like rude or mean to an audience member. I'm not minimizing what that is in the culture. But in a certain sense, if you have a bunch of people that are bending the knee to say that if you're called the R word, and that's a scarlet letter that you're tarred with, open your eyes to the fact that word doesn't mean anything anymore. And most of this country's eyes have been open to that. What math is racist, they've said. So if you're good at math, that means you're racist. Reverse racism is racism. If I say that, they call you racist. anti-racism. If you're against that, somehow you're racist, when in fact it's just calling for more institutionalized racism in this country. The greatest form of institutional racism in America right now is affirmative action. It is literally embedded into the law and into our institutions, allowing for discrimination on the basis of race. So when that word stops meaning anything, I think sometimes I can always preach the hard truths to the left, Charlie, but I want to preach it to our own side and our own movement too. If people are just going to be scared and bend the knee and worried they're going to be tarred with some label and somehow that affects who they are in their life, you know what? You need to level up and man up too and say that if somebody's going to call you that, you know the truth about yourself. God puts us here for a purpose. You have a duty to realize that purpose. And if you're going to judge yourself based on what other people call you, then I would say we have to actually take a long, hard look in the mirror first before you point your finger to the left, because you're just guilty of the same sin they're committing, but to a lesser degree. It's different, not in degree, but in kind. And so I don't know. I'm in a bit of a mood, Charlie. You're catching me. But that's what I would say is man up a little bit, and that's how we're going to actually get this country back.
Well, it also takes so much power away from them. I mean, you just watch that clip. They almost felt automatic, as if they're trying to bring you to heel. Like, come on, boy, do what I tell you to do.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, Nikki Haley.
Absolutely.
Nikki Haley, Nimarata would have slobbered, and she would have been like, let me be perfectly clear. We denounce racism in every way and white supremacy, and
we're going
to bomb Iran. Like, she would have done the whole thing.
But she's one of them.
Yes,
she's one of them is the answer at the end of the day. We got to see that. Just because you have an R after your name on a ballot doesn't mean that you actually stand for the same set of values.
No, that's right. And they kind of short-circuited, and they weren't sure how to deal with you at all when you said that. And it's more important than I think people recognize or realize. So much of their power is weaponized name-calling and hostage-taking of your career and your livelihood. And you perfectly said, because they put a scarlet R on you and the rest of your life is ruined. And Vivek, you push back against that really brilliantly. So Vivek, talk about how the border plays into this, and then I want to play a Nikki Haley tape. The border is a great replacement to try to make America less white, less native born. You've said this. You said that the great replacement is not a theory. It is the policy of the Democrat Party. Elaborate.
Yeah, look, this isn't a conspiracy theory. It's just a statement of basic incentives of a political party. Look at the Democrats, even 10 years ago, were saying that the displacement of white populations in the United States would lead to lasting electoral majorities. So after I sparred with CNN after one of those debates, we go into the spin room, they're sparring with me and saying that's a conspiracy theory. But then she pivots and she says, but even if it wasn't a conspiracy theory, what's so wrong with that policy? That shows you they know exactly what they're doing. Let's just take the air cover out and let's have the debate in the open. The whole point is this is the Democratic Party's path to lasting electoral majorities. Let's talk about that in the open. And if this were coming at the eastern border or the western border of the United States, we call this what it is. This is an invasion of the country. It's not any different just because it happens to be at the southern border instead either. And so it goes back to that culture of free speech, Charlie. If you want to disagree about whether that's good policy or not, fine, let the other side make the argument for why that's a good policy for America, and I'll debate them on it. But don't say I'm a conspiracy theorist or a racist or a xenophobe or anything else. That's just silencing debate using name calling. And the thing for me, Charlie, is I could really care less what name somebody calls me when those names see. And I know who I really am. And that's what I want to see more of from our own movement, is revive that sense of self-confidence. They want you to shut up, sit down, do as you're told. It's a modern version of slavery, psychological slavery. Well, the Emancipation Proclamation of our time comes from our own movement. Let's say, I don't care what name you called me. Slavery is a choice when to actually bend in the knee to this name-calling behavior. If you take the meaning away from those names, they have no power left over you. So that'd be my message to our movement. Stand up and let's get our country back.
Vivek, I want to play this piece of tape here of Nimarata talking about illegal immigration. Let's play cut 33.
But let's keep in mind, these people that are wanting to come here, they want to come for a better life too. They have kids too. They have a heart too. So we don't need to be disrespectful. We don't need to talk about them as criminals. They're not. They're families that want a better life, and they're desperate to get here.
Vivek, your response.
Look, I think that she is really just serving up what her super PAC puppet masters have served her. She reads them off a piece of paper, and she gets in on part of the rake when she gets in or out of office. So I think that it'd be one thing if I wanted to have a legitimate policy disagreement on this. Yes, I could take what she says seriously and say she's dead wrong. If you cross this country illegally, by definition, you are a criminal. And we're going to hold you accountable to the fullest extent of the law. And I'm going to end birthright citizenship for the kids of illegal migrants, because that's what the Constitution says. It doesn't apply to those illegals. I'm going to send you back to your country if you're in this country illegally. And I'm not going to apologize for it. And I'll engage in that debate. But I don't even want to do that with Nikki Haley, because I don't think she's sincere in any of her beliefs, Charlie. She's just saying what the Super PAC puppet masters need her to say to advance their own agenda. And that's the real issue with this woman, is she is advancing a toxic ideology that I don't think she actually, I don't think this woman has convictions one way or another. And so to engage in debate on the policy merits would assume that she does. If I was engaging, if somebody else who I believe at least meant what they said would say, that's what I would say is, these people are criminals, call them back, call them out for it, and send them back to their country, and I will. But the problem with this woman is it's something far deeper than that. And the game they're playing, Charlie, let's just call this out, call a spade so people can actually see it and open their eyes. The establishment wants to effectively narrow this down to a two-horse race between Donald Trump and Nikki Haley. They want to take Donald Trump out one way or another from contention. And these people will stop at nothing. They've made that increasingly clear. And then trot out an even better puppet than Joe Biden to keep their agenda humming, and that's Nikki Haley. So that's what's going on. And I'm in this to make sure that doesn't happen. It's not going to happen in this country. Our America First movement cannot end, have its road end with the likes of Nikki Haley. I think that's a disaster for this country, and I'm here to make sure it doesn't happen.
Look, something big is coming. Charlie Kirk here. You could probably feel it, and everybody can feel it. The next year will be a wild ride, like nothing we've ever seen in this country before. Continuing economic chaos, a critical presidential race, and masses of people moving across continents to metastasize conflict. Everything seems to be at stake. How are you going to respond? Your first step is getting prepared, and you can start today by visiting MyPatriotSupply.com. You'll save $60 on a much-needed 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Millions trust MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare them for what's coming. Eat right in emergencies with their 4-week emergency food kit. Sealed inside rugged packaging, these meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories every day. Get delicious breakfast, lunches, dinners, so you can eat right in emergencies. At $60 off, get a kit for everyone in your family. They deserve it, and you deserve peace of mind. Order by 3 p.m. today at MyPatriotSupply.com. All right, it's very simple. Joe Biden, this is his first ad of the 2024 election. He seems like he's running. He's going to call you a terrorist. Play cut 63, then I want Vivek's response to Joe Biden's ad. Play cut 63.
There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. All of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching. Most important, our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible. The Vice President and I have supported voting rights since day one of this administration. And I ask every American to join me in this cause.
That's his first campaign ad. Vivek, your response.
My response is, it's like George Orwell is rolling over in his grave watching this. You want to know who the real threat to democracy is? It's not just Joe Biden. It's the managerial class that's propping him up, saying that certain people who are running against him for U.S. president, like Donald Trump, need to be taken off a ballot. To say that if you express certain opinions in this country, you'll be suppressed by the government using tech companies to do it. To say that actually, if you say the wrong thing at a school board meeting, you're a domestic terrorist, and we've weaponized our federal police state against you. That if you're a peaceful protester of one political persuasion on January 6th on the grounds, you may be held in prison without actually being charged. Constitution be damned. So I say that actually the very people, like George Orwell would have predicted, who say that they're here to protect democracy are the ones who are actually the threats, literally, to democracy. To say that you cannot vote for the person who you want to, that's literally what they're trying to do as we head into this year to Donald Trump in the case of Maine or even in Colorado. I also saw something interesting today, this morning, in the Washington Post, of all places, Charlie, was they said that 25% of Americans now believe that the FBI likely did instigate January 6th. And another 26% say that they're not sure. That's a majority are either not sure or who believe that the FBI did. And they're fretting over how they're actually going to correct this level of blatant misinformation. The very same people who told you the same thing when people in this country knew that COVID began in a lab in China. So we have a government that has systematically lied to the people. Biden's not really the one doing it. I think that's what we got to see, Charlie, is he's just a puppet. And the people who are propping him up as their puppet, they're going to trot out a new puppet. I used to think it was going to be Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama. I'm increasingly convinced it's just Nikki Haley, and they're going to do it in the guise of the Republican Party competition. But whatever it is, that managerial industrial complex underneath Biden that's propping him up, it's like an Orwellian machine that will feed you, you know, peace is war, war is peace, and democracy is autocracy. That's the way they roll, and we got to be able to see through it. So I find it laughable personally, but I think a lot of Americans, and we do live in a nation of sheep right now, unfortunately, a nation of sheep is what breeds a government of wolves, and that's what we have today.
I look at this, I totally agree. I look at this advertisement, and it feels like a declaration of war. It's not like a hopeful, inspiring, here's what I've done, but it's as if Christopher Nolan was making a trailer about the regime versus the people, and the people are being framed as Nazis. Just like the framing of it and the cinematography and the coloring, it's like really heavy. I mean, Vivek, is it too far to say that this current government is almost waging a soft war against the citizens?
I don't think that's a stretch to frame it that way, Charlie. To the contrary, I think the real divide in this country is between that managerial class, the unaccountable bureaucrats in the federal government that have propped up Biden, and the everyday citizen. And you know what? I think we also have to acknowledge that we are in a kind of cold cultural war in this country. I think we have to open our eyes to that. I think it's not a war between black and white, as the media would try to have you believe. I don't even really think anymore it's between the traditional DNC and the RNC, or the traditional Democrat Party and the Republican Party. It is deeper than that. It is between a set of people in this country who hate our country and what it stands for, and the majority of us, we the people, who love the United States of America and our founding ideals. And I call this a war. If they want to frame it that way, fine. Let's actually engage in that. I'll say there's no middle ground here between free speech and censorship. There's no middle ground between merit and group quotas, between American exceptionalism and apologizing for who we are. You can't have both of those things at the same time. And so in a certain sense, what is a war? A war is where there's no mutual middle ground between the two options. And one side is using force to perpetuate its views over the other. They're not using free speech and open debate. They've resorted to using force, weaponization of our financial markets, increasingly weaponization of our federal police state and the justice system. And so in some sense, Charlie, he's asking you to see exactly how they see it. Look at the look and feel of that ad. Look at its content. That's exactly what they're telling you. And shame on our side if we're asleep at the switch and still think that this is, you know, the 1990s, Republicans versus Democrats.
In addition to that, Joe Biden ad, he's talking about the voting rights in our democracy. They're trying to kick Donald Trump off the ballot. He's facing 700 years in federal prison. It's absolutely insane. So Vivek, I want you just to give a quick update. How are things on the ground? You know, you've really been going scorched earth here. You're going to run all the way through. It's going to be a photo finish. It's really been amazing to see. While Nemirata is doing, you know, billionaire super PAC type stuff in New York trying to raise money, DeSantis is completely gone. I think you're going to surprise a lot of people in Iowa. I have no idea what the final results will be. But what's the vibe? What's the energy? You've been working your tail off in Iowa. Give us an update.
The vibe is, I think a lot of people on the ground aren't polled. And so I think we're going to deliver a major surprise on January 15, Charlie. And I've said this isn't the beginning of the campaign, and I've especially really believe it now. I'd rather speak the truth and lose some election than to win by playing some fake game of political snakes and ladders. So you know what? A lot of the positions that I've taken, they have not been good for large-scale fundraising externally. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking it out of my own pocketbook and putting it into the campaign, because I'd rather do that than be somebody else's circus monkey. So whether that's the winning political strategy or not, we'll find out. My bet is it is. I'm trusting the people of this country to tell the difference between a super PAC puppet and somebody who's actually sharing their true convictions. But I'll also tell you something about this year, Charlie. I think we're very, for better or worse, early in this race. And I think this system, these people, they are making clearer by the day. They will stop at nothing. And I mean nothing, to keep Donald Trump away from that White House. They're obsessed with that outcome. And I'm increasingly clear, it seems to me at least, Charlie, that they want to narrow this down to a two-horse race between Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, do whatever it takes, stopping at nothing to eliminate Trump from contention, and then trot in their puppet. And so I have an obligation to this country to make sure that doesn't happen. I don't want people to fall for that trap. I think they're selling us the rope today that they will use to hang us tomorrow. And you know what? America First, it didn't begin in 2016. It began in 1776. And so we love Donald Trump, and a lot of people here on the ground who I'm meeting do too. But this movement cannot end with this man. He got this fight started, but whatever way this goes, it is our job to finish it. And so all I'm saying for people right now heading into this year is I think this is going to be a year with, I think, some very uncomfortable realities as the system tries to foist on us an outcome that we, the people, could not want. And so it's up to us to be alert to that and make sure we don't fall for that trap. And I'm going to be in this to the very end to make sure that we don't fall into that trap and we can take America First to the next level.
Just add a little bit more context just as we close here. Vivek, how much money have you put into this race of your own hard-earned money?
It's in the tens of millions. It's in the high 20s, you know, close to $30 million. That's the range we're talking about already. I'd have to look at what the latest is, and there's more going in. So we're just midstream. And Charlie, that's not inherited money. I mean, that's hard-earned money. And yes, even for our family, that doesn't make a big difference. But the inheritance we want to give our kids isn't a bunch of green pieces of paper. What's the point of that if they don't even have a country left to live in? And I do think if we don't get this right in the next 5 years, 10 years max, maybe more like 5 years, I don't think we have a country left, actually. And so I've done more events on the ground than all the other campaigns combined. We will have done 330 events here just in Iowa. That's more than all the other campaigns combined. I've put by far more of my own personal wealth into this campaign than all of the other candidates combined. And so, yeah, I'm not doing that to just go through the motions for whatever other theories different people have about me. I'm here to speak the truth, do the right thing for our country. I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to ask the people to do theirs. And I think that's how we get our country back.
You could tell a lot whether or not somebody puts their money where their mouth is. $30 million is a lot of money. And God bless you, Vivek. That is really something. Come back soon, Vivek. Keep hitting it hard. Enjoy the great state of Iowa. And I think you're going to surprise a lot of the prognosticators and overperform. Vivek, thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.